Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And it is Friday. We are glad to be here as May reaches almost its midpoint. It's Friday the 13th. Don't let that scare you. We are raring to go for the next couple of hours. As some of you may know, we were in Birmingham on Wednesday for the Regents Tradition at Greystones, an annual rite of spring. One of the things that we like the most is we get to talk to some quirky personalities like John Daly and Taylor Hicks. We also talk to some of the mainline folks like Nick Saban and Kirby Smart. And we begin the program, and we will get to your phone calls in just a few minutes, but we begin the program at the Regents Tradition with Kirby Smart. I wasn't sure you were going to be here because sometimes Coach, you did this for a couple of years, I know, because of your affiliation with Alabama, but you win the national championships and
you got a lot of demands on your time, but so we appreciate you being here.
Well, I'm excited to be here. CEO of Regents is a Georgia grad, John Turner. He does a wonderful job representing our business school and Terry College, so chance to repay him means a lot to come back over here.
Yeah, I was talking to John one time about his affiliation for Georgia, and he said, would you mind keeping your voice down? We're in Birmingham. So that's something that you have lived with. And the thing, I hear you talk about Alabama a lot, and it's you can't separate it. It's part of your life, I guess.
Well, it is. I was born in the state of Alabama. My parents went to Samford University. So when my parents get to come back to their home college town and being born in Montgomery, it's important to support Children's Hospital. It means a lot to me. I had a brother that had leukemia, so there's a lot of attachment to this city and this event.
And every time I talk to you, it seems like some of the conversations are alike. We talked about post-national championship the last time, but every day we all read new information about NIL. I know the coaches will get together in a couple of weeks. Yeah. And Destin, what do you think that conversation, what are the big topics of conversation that you are concerned about right now?
What can we do to protect our game? You know, it's really tough because the naysayers out there think we're trying to limit kids or take opportunities away. That's not anybody's intent. No coach wants to take an opportunity away from his players who play a tough, physical, rugged sport. I just want to make sure that the game stays at a point where we can control it. And I think everybody would agree that college football is one of the greatest sports there is. It's very pure, it's amateur, and now it's drifting the other way. It makes it tough. So I'm all for the players. We've had a lot of players get an opportunity to name, image, likeness. I would just not want it to be a decision based on where I'm going to the highest bidder. And if we can control that some kind of way, it would be much better.
Can you address just the overall conversation about tampering? And who knows what the definition of that is? And coaches, I'm not talking about you, but it's easy to say, well, we lost the player or the other guy came in. But is there any way to manage that, or is that just part of where we are right now?
It's part of the game. I don't believe there's as much tampering as people think.
Right.
What I think is there's kids who grow up thinking that if it doesn't work out here, I should go somewhere else. The tampering comes from the player that's searching somewhere else, not from a coach reaching out. Look, I've had kids reach out to me from other programs and call and say things, and you can't talk to them. So I know it happens from our place out, from other places. So I don't worry as much about tampering as much as I do about, are we doing the right thing for kids when they have adversity or things are tough to be able to walk away? I mean, we had a group of 15 draft picks that all felt like they had a chance in their career somewhere they might have left. Well, if they had left, they would have missed out on a national championship. They would have missed out on getting drafted. They'd have missed out on graduating. I think those things are critical to success.
I know it was a couple weeks ago, but I'm interested in the residual effect of those 3 days in Las Vegas to your program, because you really were. I saw you out there, and I mean, everywhere you went, among the 500,000 people Georgia was being discussed.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. It was a credit to the entire organization, our university, the strength staff, the nutrition staff, the player development staff. So many people had a role in those kids' lives. To have that good a group at one time was really unique. I'm excited for the next group we've got coming up, but the draft was really special. It was an infomercial for our program and what they've been able to do.
And listen, you've seen the ups and downs and the vagaries of sports, but so much momentum is happening right now. And as a coach, you have to deal with it, but you also, I think, in some ways have to temper people because there's a lot of adrenaline pushing Georgia's way at the moment.
Well, there always is. I mean, and a lot of that will go into the Oregon game. A lot of it will go into how we play next year. But we're a program that is built to sustain. We weren't built on one-hit wonders. We weren't built on, you know, one guy, one player. Our program's not going to be make or break by one player. So we think we've got really good infrastructure. We've got a great thing to sell, a great education, playing a great conference. I mean, look at our state. We had 30 players drafted from our state, which is incredible, from the state of Georgia, for the number of people in it. So there's a great product being put out there by our high schools, and we get the blessing of that being the state university.
I'll let you go in a second, but I want to ask you about a philosophical question. Somebody called me the other day and pointed toward your team and the draft, and said, I wonder, do you think maybe we'll see a shift now? Because what Georgia did last year, we really haven't seen that in this era of high-flying offenses. I know that's what you've been trying to build from day one. Do you think others will try to, by the way, it's impossible to replicate that, but how is that fitting into where we are right now in college football?
I think it's who we were that year. We'll be a different team this year. You know, we won't have five first-round defensive players coming back. It's not going to be the case. I don't think it's going to be replicated very often. I still think it's an era of throwing the ball. It's an era of scoring points, and we're going to have to do a better job of that, continue to do it, and we want to play defense better than everybody else. What that number looks like, I don't know. We just want to be number one in the country. We want to be good at it, but we want to score points, and to do that, you got to have skilled players that can make plays, and we think we're in a good position to do that.
And finally, I know that you're a guy that there is no time to breathe, and there's not going, but do you feel like you're constantly on a treadmill these days, or have you always?
I wish I was on a treadmill. I don't get on the treadmill near enough. This is what my wife tells me. But the world we live in college football is changing so fast. I'm hoping there are some guide rails kind of put in to help college coaches love the game and enjoy it. Because right now you're chasing your own players. You're chasing players that are not at your place in the portal, and then you're chasing recruits. Right. So you're getting pulled in a lot of directions, a lot of demands. It's 24/7 all the time. Look, I got in this game because I like the relationships and coaching. It's not the chasing.
Thank you very much, Coach.
Thank you, Paul.
Kirby Smart joining us from the University of Georgia. So that was our conversation with the national champ 2 days ago, as we will share many of those with you this afternoon. So what else are we going to be doing? Alan Green, some interesting comments from him, the Auburn athletic director. Gus Malzahn, he's not part of the SEC, but he used to be. He's at UCF. John Daly dropped by the other day for a riotous conversation. Of course, the GOAT will be with us a little bit later. Taylor Hicks, Greg Byrne as well. And your phone calls when we come back at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back. And for those of you watching, that conversation with Eddie Robinson Jr. was pretty amazing. So was the conversation with Alan Green. He is the director of athletics at Auburn, and we talked to him Wednesday at the Regents Tradition. Alan, you look no worse for wear, so I'll skip a hole-by-hole description of your round since everyone is hanging on it. But I would like to talk to you about the issues going on, that you can't look at a phone or look at television or anything right now without almost sensing that college athletics is going through some inflection point that we've never seen. You've played baseball, you've been an athletic director. Where are we right now?
Yeah, we're in a world of uncertainty, right? It's a combination of a number of hot topics that are really complex, all hitting at the same time. So trying to sort them out, piece them apart, and try to make progress the best way we can.
Let's talk first about the NIL position, because there is a lot of confusion, and everyone is seemingly interpreting things differently. We had the guidance from the NCAA the other day. How is Auburn approaching that as a school?
Right. Well, I think that's part of the biggest challenge is different schools are interpreting things differently, as you mentioned. we're working hard to be leaders in the industry and to support our student athletes. I believe, like many of my peers have said, is NIL in and of itself is a really good thing, and we're okay with that. It's bled into something that, quite frankly, we anticipated would happen with our guardrails. And so now we're in this world where we've heard the terms wild, wild west and free agency, and we feel the same thing. And that's part of where we are, and just continue to try to work through and get some clarity the best we can.
Alan, there's at least a perception out there that it is the wild, wild west. Coaches inside the bubble have said that. You know that. Now that it started, you mentioned guardrails. What can be done, if anything, to slow this down?
Yeah, I've had some conversations with folks about this outside of our industry. And I remember having conversations about NIL prior to it passing this past summer. And a lot of the athletic directors knew that without guardrails, we'd find ourselves in this world. Perhaps we found ourselves in this world faster than we anticipated. But nonetheless, it's been a really complicated matter, driven a little bit by our industry and the inability to act effectively, and a little bit by outside forces who are, in some cases, driving the train for us.
You hear this phrase, student athlete, all the time, and I'm not... maybe I am being cynical about it, but because you understand what it means.
Sure.
You went to an institution where you had to perform both on the field and in the classroom.
Right.
But today, is that still an appropriate way to describe players on a college campus?
I think it's an excellent question. I believe. I believe in the core tenets of being a student and an athlete, getting your education and then pursuing your dreams athletically. I know that, with NIL and with transfer deregulation and some of the litigation that's happening in our industry, it appears, and I see why people would be cynical. I'm still holding out hope for this industry, making sure that we hold on to our young people being students and being athletes.
But how do you feel when you hear stories about a player saying, I'll stay at this school if, you know what we're talking about there, does that
Absolutely.
Diminish the moniker of student athlete?
It erodes it a little bit, but I would also say, some of those student athletes who, are saying, I'm going to leave if, or I'll stay if, I think that's a very small percentage. And obviously, the driving force is football and men's basketball. And we'll see some of that stuff bleed into other sports. But of our 550 student athletes, a majority of them want to be at Auburn. They want to get an education. They want to have a world-class experience. And they want to be able to compete for the orange and blue.
Yeah, most schools, you just said the football and basketball players are the most prominent. You may have the most prominent singular athlete in the country on your campus, the gold medal winner. We had a great chance to visit with her down at Auburn last year. How does that work when you have somebody who's on Dancing with the Stars, who's an international celebrity,
yeah,
walking across campus like everybody else?
So many of us on our campuses interact with what we would call superstar student athletes. I've gotten a chance to get to know Suni. She's an 18-year-old, right? And when you get a chance to talk to her, I won't say she's a kid because she's had some worldly experiences, quite literally, but she's a fantastic young person. And she's what makes this industry special. And she's, people like her are why I love doing what I do.
Alan, in just a relatively short period of time, we'll be in Destin, where I'm guessing schedules are going to be hashed out. I know the athletic directors met recently. Maybe it's already been decided.
It's already resolved. I'm just not going to say
anything. If so, yeah. your first, I have no comment. But what is Auburn interested in when it sits down with the other 13 and ultimately the other 15 in terms of protecting some of the most famous rivalries?
Sure.
In college football?
Yeah, one of the things Commissioner Sankey has been great about is, in our room collectively, has been about doing what is the best for the SEC, and certainly understanding that there's probably going to be some changes, right, with our football schedule, still yet to be determined. But if we can try to figure out how to create an environment and a schedule and schedules that are attractive to our fan bases, that provide competition, that provide value, and that provide a tremendous experience to our student athletes, we'll settle on something that we all may not like everything, but we're going to like enough to be able to do something that's really good for SEC and for college football.
In terms of scheduling, your Penn State's on the schedule this year. You went up there last year. It seems like outside of the conference scheduling, which is to be determined, other people like you are moving away from these neutral site games to home and home. Explain the experience last year and what's ahead.
Well, it was a great experience for our student athletes to go to Penn State and for our fans to travel. You could, although there was 110,000 in that stadium, there were plenty of Auburn fans, and I think it's helped spread football and spread the game and get more excitement in the game. We're looking forward to another tough schedule this year. We always seem to have tough schedules. We like that pain, but again, it also provides opportunities for us to compete against nationally ranked opponents, some in our stadium and some on the road.
Alan, a couple of questions that may not be as easy as some of the previous ones, but for months there has been intense speculation about Coach Harsin. I know it's there's a very narrow window in terms of what you probably feel comfortable saying, but could you address what happened a couple of months ago?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I've shared before is we're very fortunate at Auburn to have people who care. I've been at places where, you know, there's a little bit of apathy. I guess I've been, you know, at one place in the University of Buffalo, but having spent time at Ole Miss, having spent time at Notre Dame, there are people who take a great deal of pride in their football programs. And we weren't as successful as we should have been last year. And everybody knows that, and Coach Harsin knows that. I think for us, the important part is address the areas of concern and be able to move forward. And I'm thankful that Coach Harsin has made changes, but he's also now in a little bit more of a stable environment as COVID is, I won't say moved on, but as we've gotten more accustomed to it. I know he's engaging with our student athletes. He's engaging with his coaches and with the fans. He was, you know, playing golf out in the region's tradition, and just being more natural in his element. And so we're looking forward to an exciting football season.
That had to be a difficult experience for you because, I mean, you're the athletic director. You ultimately made that hire. There have been many articles that have documented that. That's not. And by the way, there should be no mystery if you're the athletic director.
Sure.
But it seemed rather painful to watch from a distance. What was it like for you to watch?
Yeah, you know, look, every school has challenges that they have to work through, and ours happened to be in the media. And I'm thankful that the university went through a good process and came out that there was nothing more to some of the, I guess, the tweets or whatever the social media things were out there. So those are difficult times. I think they build character. I will tell you, our team is closer than they ever have been. Our coaching staff is closer than they ever have been. And they're really hungry to go out and represent the Auburn family.
And finally, one thing that came out during the Harsin episode or odyssey was your own situation. And I know normally athletic directors' futures are not discussed in media, but yours has been. I'm sure you haven't missed it. So what does your future look like at Auburn?
No, I haven't missed it. And I hear people say stuff. I try to remind people, you know, we've gone through a really unique situation at Auburn. I was hired by a particular president. We had the interim, who was the former president, come back. He was definitely temporary. And he wanted to make sure that the new president, when that person came in, had an opportunity to evaluate the athletics department. Chris Roberts is that person. I'm excited and looking forward to working with him. He's done a tremendous job in the College of Engineering, and I look forward to helping him fulfill his vision as he takes over on Monday.
I know this is a loaded question, but do you want to remain the athletic director?
I absolutely do. I absolutely do. Well, it's funny that you ask, and it's not loaded at all, in fact, but someone said that there was questions about whether I wanted to be involved or not. And I said, well, that's news to me because I've said all along that I love being on the Plains. I love Auburn. My family does, too. And we still have work to do. And I'm committed to making sure that we make progress to represent our university.
Well, no matter how difficult the circumstance, I do appreciate many things about you. But above all, you are always willing to at least sit down and have a conversation about the issues. And we deeply appreciate you being here.
My pleasure, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much. Alan
all
Green.
Right. War Eagle.
The athletic director at Auburn University. Yeah, we are back. We will get to your phone calls in a moment. We'll bounce back and forth between the studio where we are on this Friday afternoon and where we were interviewing all those coaches. We'll also hear from Nate Oates in just a moment.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
So that was a lot going on there. We've already had Nate Oates and Kirby Smart, Alan Green, a lot more. We'll take a break and get to your phone calls right now at 855-242-7285. A lot to do coming up. Jimmy is up next. Hey, Jimmy.
Yeah, hey, Paul. How's it going?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, Paul. Good, good. So good to talk to you. I love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, I was wondering, I know you've been pretty busy the last couple of days, but I was wondering if you happened to catch any of the Cole Kublik interview with Kirby Smart.
I'm sorry, Jimmy, what was
that?
Well,
if you heard about it. I was wondering if you happened to hear about the interview Cole had with Kirby Smart yesterday.
I did not, no.
Okay, I figured you were a little too busy. Anyways, he was kind of giving some ribbon to McIlroy and about making excuses on the golf course, and he went into him, you know, just joking, but about three or four times he talked about how he didn't make excuses, and if he didn't play well, it'd be based on his talent on the golf course. And I just wondered if you thought that when Nick Saban said they lost because of their cornerbacks and receivers being out, I wonder if you thought Kirby took that badly.
You're just asking me for an opinion here, right?
That's right.
I think that's exactly what he was talking about.
Yeah, it kind of felt that way. He kind of felt like he was getting it in a joking way, but I thought so too.
And I will say this too, Jimmy, I've heard that from a lot of people in the industry, that they were surprised when Nick Saban said that, although he's done that before. People that know him well, he went down that road when about 10 years ago when Alabama lost to Utah, longer than 10 years ago, in the Sugar Bowl. He another loss he blamed on the players being fixated, may have been the Oklahoma game, fixated on the draft, on whether to come out or not. So. But I will tell you, there's some other people in the industry who have mentioned that to me about what Saban has said. So if that's what Kirby was insinuating, he's not alone. How about that?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify?
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it was, he did it in a very funny way. It was about McElroy, and but you just kind of felt he said excuses about 3 or 4 times. You know, he might have been.
Now he, let me say this about Kirby Smart. He plays a good old boy from Nowheresville, but he is wicked smart. And if he mentioned excuses once, he was talking about Saban. If he mentioned excuses 4 times, he was just making sure nobody missed the first 3. Let's check in with Matt, who is first up.
Hey, Bert, how you doing, Mr. Paul Feinbaum? How you been, man?
Okay, Matt.
I want to say about Jim, the moron. He keeps on calling the show. I think he called the show Thursday and sets this up about me. But, Jim, I'm not a liar, man. You're a liar. You're an idiot. You're a moron. You're still a decrepit old man, wears a diaper, who knows a jack about sports, and all you want to do is talk politics. We're a vice, Jim. Nobody agrees with your beliefs because we all have different beliefs around the planet. So why we want to hear your dumb old thing about religion and politics? It's not a political show, Jim. Get your thick skull head. And I kind of want to ask you an honest question, Paul.
Yes.
You still there, Paul?
Yeah, I'm obligated by contract to be here every single day for 4 hours. So, yeah, okay. I'm here.
Paul, if I ever go to college and I graduate, whatever career I do in life, whether working for you or doing my first gym, would you still be proud of me, Paul? You and my TCU brother?
Hey, Matt, I think all of us here at the show are proud of you every time you call in, regardless of who you're taking out, considering how far you've come to get to this point.
I appreciate that, bro. I really do, man.
Thank you, Matt. You take care of yourself, brother. Let's... Hey, don't you knock it. I don't have a brother. But and that guy over there?
Yeah.
He ain't heavy?
He is my brother.
But he's my brother. Trey is up next in Arkansas.
Howdy, Paul. I was just checking in on the our basketball recruiting class, and also... Do you think Arkansas has a legitimate chance at winning the national the tournament?
Arkansas is having an amazing year. And quite frankly, I think Arkansas is going to win the national championship in basketball next year. And I can't wait to see Nolan Richardson courtside celebrating the first one since he won nearly 30 years ago. Thank you for the call. Jimmy, the cop, is up next.
Yes, Paul. Yeah, I called you. I called you a year ago about the NIL. You know, and one time I called you about Urban Meyer. I told you why he didn't like you, and you said, of course, he was a fraud. You gave a straight out answer. You know,
yeah.
I think you waffled a little bit when I asked you about the NIL. To me, it was obvious, very obvious, it wasn't going to work. And if anybody should have had his ear to it, is you, because it's directly
on a second, Jimmy. Who said it's not working?
The NIL?
Yeah.
It's going to work? Okay. Well, this old man doesn't like it, and he's losing a lot of interest.
Jimmy, why don't you like it is my question.
Because of the way they're jumping around and the money's being paid, it doesn't look, it's not legit, is it?
When you were a policeman, could you leave to go somewhere else?
No.
Or you were under a contract?
No. I could have left.
Of course you could.
Yeah.
As long as you are not under a binding contract in any profession, you can walk out at any. And by the way, people are doing that every day of the week. Kirby Smart can leave Georgia tomorrow to go to the NFL. I'm not really upset about this. These guys make a fortune. Let them deal with it. I'm really getting sick of all the whining by the 1% class.
Well, I'm not in the 1%.
I know this sounds like Tucker Carlson here, but I'm very serious.
No, I'm not of that.
Zillionaire coaches are upset because the guys that are playing for them can leave. Well, big deal.
No, I'm not talking about the coaches. I just think I don't care about the coaches. I don't think it's good for the
game.
I'm talking about the players. I don't think it's good for the tradition and everything else.
If you're an 18-year-old to play for LSU, that's not your problem. Is not the tradition. Your goal is to go to that school, get whatever kind of education you choose to get, and make money. That's why you go to college.
I didn't go to college to learn
about the Greek classics, although I did. I went to college so I could try to get a job, which I was able to do, barely, I might add, and for a very small amount of money. But at least that education gave me the opportunity. That's what these guys are doing. You can BS your way through their academic curriculum, but if you sign a grant and aid to go to the University of Florida, LSU, A&M, you're going there to play football so you can go to the next level, pure and simple.
I guess what I'm talking about is the integrity of the game. I think the integrity of the game is suffering a lot.
I sound like we're in a bar about to go down, but the game has no integrity. You know that. What integrity does college sports have right now?
Well, none now.
Jimmy, if you book somebody back in the day, you're gonna want to know a bunch of facts, aren't you?
Yes.
Name. Okay, Jimmy, give me a date, please, sir. The last time college athletics had integrity.
When Bill Bradley played for Princeton.
That was in the 60s, Jimmy, 60s.
He was a Rhodes Scholar, and he stayed up half the night doing his term paper before he came out, and he
good
scored 50 points against Michigan. Yeah.
But yeah. Like, that's another, 1963.
This whole thing, let me ask you one question. When was the last time a player got suspended for being academically ineligible?
Oh, it happens. It happens.
No, it doesn't. Never.
Well, no, you know, I disagree with you. You have to have I don't know how some of them get it, but yeah, you have to be academically eligible.
Yeah, well, let's say all they do is it's on the internet. There's no classroom work.
Yeah, I would argue again. I would disagree with that, but that's just
okay. It's nice. I haven't talked to you in a long time because I'm under the weather. I had fractured my hip. I had a knee replacement and I had cancer, so that's why I've been absent. But
well, Jimmy, number one, in spite of our little throwdown here at the end of the bar, I'm glad to hear you're doing better. I really am.
Well, you keep me alive. I'm just checking on you.
You're doing better than I am.
But how come all these other guys came out? These other announcers, a lot of them came out against it. They went right out. The guy from Ohio State on ESPN. A few of them, you know, they agree with me, I think.
Well, by the way, a lot of people do agree with you. Jimmy, hate to run. We are you continue your road to recovery. We are back. I'm picking a fight with a Brooklyn cop. Now, is that smart?
No.
I mean, he'll take me in the back and get the Manhattan phone book right into my gut. We're coming back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Here on a Friday afternoon, Saban later on, some other guests as well. Let's continue with more of your phone calls. And Tom is in Tennessee. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Paul. Would you explain to me what the portal is and how that works?
Yeah, the portal is there's a silo in Waterloo, Iowa, where when you decide you want to leave a school to go to somewhere else, you have to go in there and go to the bottom of it and wait until your name is called. Now, the portal is just a figure of speech where you sign a couple of papers that most average Americans couldn't understand. And that makes you eligible for other schools to contact you to secure your services.
Okay.
In the parlance of Major League Baseball, it would be like being a free agent.
Okay. All right. That explains it.
Well, that's what I'm here. I mean, by the way, if you have any questions, about anything, whether it's you have sinus problems and you want a suggestion, or
bunions.
If you have bunions, there are other places for that, but it depends on where your bunions are.
Sure.
If you want to talk sports, if you want to talk culture, music, it doesn't matter. We are here to serve you, and we do not charge more than the initial $19.95 fee to get in.
Appreciate
that. Will renew the next year. You ever go to one of these stores?
Mm-hmm.
I went to one the other day. Not the other day. About a year ago, bought something, and today I get a. By the way, you have now. Thank you for renewing your service agreement. I didn't renew it.
You just bought some.
At the counter, they go, hey, by the way, it's really expensive, this phone you just bought. Don't you want to get some protection? Oh, yeah, sure. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, can I go ahead and name the company so maybe they'll call me back?
Yeah, maybe.
let's go to Brian is in Arkansas. Hey, Brian.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. What a great Friday.
It is.
Mess in college football and – they asked me when I come on the show, I told them what I wanted to talk about, the NIL, which is kind of everybody's hot topic, and whether I was for it or whether I was against it. My comment was simply, if it's ticking people off, I guess I'm for it. So
I think there's
a great there's a paradigm shift seems to be in ethics in college sports over the last 10 years. And people who are sports fans, we're used to certain way that the NCAA does business. We're used to certain ways the student athletes react to their college, the way of life on the college campus, and all that's kind of changed. And change, is the eliminating of certain traditions, get eliminated through change, and tradition always dies screaming. So, the kids that are getting these NIL deals, they were getting a lot of these benefits long before NIL ever came out. And I think that NIL is going to level the playing field in college football, which is desperately needed. I mean, if you're a fan, especially in the SEC, and you can see the power shifts, whether they're the Alabamas or the Georgias, these power shifts that are taking place, and the NIL is kind of allowing that to happen, and people are afraid. They're afraid of losing their control of your recruiting. Even the NIL to the college. I mean, people may not like certain colleges, but if they get enough money to go there and play, well, that could change the dynamics of the college, and it'll change the popularity and a lot of folks are scared of that right now.
No, I think you're right, Brian. And hanging on the tradition is great. We all like tradition, but it's still there on Saturday afternoon. Rick is in Cincinnati. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Paul. How are we doing today?
Pretty great. Thank you.
I have an idea that I want to run by you, and you can bubble it up the ladder to Greg for me if you would for me. That would be great.
Okay, we'll do it.
The SEC is a tradition and trendsetter, with it being the first conference for the championship football game. I think it's time for the SEC to take the next step. I think the SEC should have a playoff for the championship when Oklahoma and Texas join the conference. Teams will keep their current 8-game conference schedule, and 4 pods will be created, as we've been talking about for all along. But after the 8th conference game, the teams will be ranked, with the 4 teams winning their pods and advancing to the SEC playoffs. The 9th game of the season would be the 2 playoff games, along with matching up with the rankings, the games for the other schools. So every school will basically have a game that last week. But the 2 biggest games would be those 4 teams playing for a chance to go to the SEC championship. And, of course, the 2 teams that win their playoff games would move on to the SEC championship game in Atlanta. I think that'd be an exciting way for the SEC.
Yeah, it's currently not legal to do that, but it's not legal to do pretty much everything that's going on in college athletics. So I don't think that will be an issue. I happen to like that very much. They're still going to be everybody's still going to get their games in, so you'll have some of the same boring games at the end that we always do. Hey, thank you very much. Gus Malzahn knows a little bit about championship games. He's been in a couple. He played for the national championship in 2013. He'll join us next.